living a practical life in the material world. So Prabhupada explained the process of doing that. He stated the problem that we have a material body. We are not our material body. This is one of the basic, most basic principles of spiritual life. We are not this material body. One time I was giving class and I said, we're not this body. And the person said, I have a question. If we're not this body, which body are we? Well, actually, that's not true. I just made that up. But who we actually are, the person within the body, within the mind, is wonderful. Is wonderful and has a very deep, loving relationship with Krishna. But how to live in a practical way? So Prabhupada explained that we can do whatever we're doing, long as it is in line with the principles of bhakti. We can do what we're doing, but something should be changed, not externally, but on the internal level, in our concept of who we are. There has to be a very deep change for us to make our way to the spiritual world while living in the material world. And what is that thing that must be changed? What is that concept? It is that I am Krishna's servant. And as Krishna's servant, we can do amazing things. It's not that we have to renounce or change so much the external activities, but again, it's the internal concept of who we are, the motivation, not even the motivation, but the internal concept of who we are, and work from that position, from that concept, from that mood, from that bhavana. And then we can do something wonderful in this world. Now, and that Prabhupada will explain in the next segment that we're going to hear. To do that, to make that internal change, is the facility offered to a human being. And the externals of one's life, in one sense, don't matter at all. We all have our own situations. We all have our own abilities. We have our own fate. We have our own likes, dislikes, situations, whatever it is. We have our karma. Someone may have the karma to become the best cricket player in the entire world. You? No. But it's amazing how many children in India, when they're growing up, they want to become a great cricket player. Amazing how many. So one can actually do that. But do it as a service to Krishna. You want to become a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, then do it. But do it as a service to Krishna. You want to have 1,000 children? Well, good luck. but be the best mother, the best parent, best father, best grandparent as a service to Krishna. But really do it sincerely for Krishna's pleasure. This is the facility offered to a human being. Okay, play the first part of class 3. Maybe. Now, what are you thinking during this little while? Where did your mind go? Did your mind go to the outback, like your t-shirt says? Yeah, you have an outback in the front. Usually one would have the outback in the back. And this would be the front, and then outback. Have you ever been to the outback? No. Do you know which direction the outback is in? Yeah, right. First you have to go out, then you go to the back. We ready? Oh, just wait, pause. You are right. It'll take a few minutes. I wanted to read it first. Now, Prabhupada says, see the advantage of God consciousness. Now, if you have got determination, I shall not take anything which is not offered to God, meaning not eat anything that's not offered to God, because your life is meant for God's service. The self-concept is that I'm a servant of God, and this is actually my pleasure. This is my deepest desire, to serve Krishna. Not, oh, I have to be a servant of God. No, I want to serve Krishna. So then you cook for God. You eat for God. Therefore, the whole life is like that. Now, if you're cooking for God, if you're purchasing stores for God, meaning foodstuffs, then you have to know what sort of thing can be offered to God, because always remember that you're going to the store not for your own purpose. So this idea that I'm a servant of Krishna and my house is Krishna's house and I'm there as his servant should permeate. It should fill our consciousness. Every part of our life. The idea is that anyone who is doing everything for the sake of the Lord is free from the reaction. So there's no karma. There's no bondage for what one does if one does it sincerely as a servant of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. If anyone doing anything on his own account, he is being entangled in that action and reaction. So that is the technique of becoming yogistha, being always situated in connection with Krishna, is that we keep the mood of I am Krishna's servant. How can I serve you? So that is the technique of becoming yogistha, yogistha, kuru karmani. And the next shloka, it is clearly explained, dharena yabaram karma, buddhi yogam dharanjaya, buddha sharanaman vicha, kripana phala hetara. O Dhananjaya, rid yourself of all fruit of activities by devotional service and surrender fully to that consciousness. Really make that the central mood of your life. If you're a student, you study in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. If you're a business person, act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Now, in this verse, Kripana fal hetava. The word kripana is very significant. And this is the subject of what Prabhupada is going to be speaking about here, the word kripana, miser. And just the opposite word of kripana, opposite word of miser, is brahmana. I've already explained, Prabhupada says, Sometimes I've explained that Brahmana means those who know I am not this body. I am a spirit. I am consciousness. I am a soul I'm spirit consciousness. And one who knows this perfectly well, understanding the science also, that I am qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, aham brahmasmi, the Vedic mantra says, aham brahmasmi, that means I am Brahman. I am not matter, I am Brahman. So one who knows this science, that person is called Brahmana. And that doesn't matter who he is, where he is born, that doesn't matter. Simply knowing this science. Now, Prabhupada says, the opposite word is kripana. Kripana means miser. And who do you call a miser? The miser is a man who has got enough money, but he doesn't spend it. He's called miser. Miser means who's got enough assets, but he does not spend. He simply sees his money and is satisfied. And every once in a while, he goes out and counts it. He does not spend it. He does not spend it properly. He doesn't utilize it. He is called kripana. What does kripana mean? And what's the English word? Miser. He is called kripana. Is it right? Is that the right explanation of miser? Prabhupada asks. Now, Prabhupada's basic message, the basic preaching message that he gave, that he distributed to the world, the basic one, and the basic preaching message of ISKCON to the world is that human life has a purpose. It's not just to be spent doing this and that. It's not, in Bombay there's an expression, time pass. So it's not just time pass doing this or that. They even call, so someone has a relationship with some girl, and, oh, she's just time pass. I'm sure it works the other way too. It's not serious. This is just something to waste time, a distraction. And this is what modern so-called civilization is expert at, distraction. There's unlimited ways to distract us from using our life in a productive way, using our life to fulfill life's actual purpose. So the basic preaching of Prabhupada and the basic preaching of Prabhupada society is the basic preaching of the Bhagavad Gita, that we, the soul, we are eternal. And yet there are the laws of karma, which means how we act, even though we are eternal souls, will affect our current situation and our future situation. There's a reaction to everything that one does.
And a human life is very rare. One of them in which it should be used to
achieve the greatest purpose, an eternal purpose, not just wasting time and distraction and this and that and playing unlimited games and this and that. No, we should do more than an animal does with his life. And if a human being, this is the basic preaching, if the human being uses his life the way an animal uses his life, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, in a more sophisticated way, he's no better than an animal. And that, when we actually take this seriously, harsh as it is, to hear that human beings nowadays are not much more than animals, harsh it is to hear, it explains what you see when you look at the news or look at any city of the world. It's just people running from place to place to place to place, trying to enjoy themselves and fighting over things, proud, envious, angry, and not even, they're so distracted that no one, it sounds funny, but no one is where they are. They're always when they're walking, they're on their phones. When they're sitting, you can see. I always notice in airports, you can get a row of 30 people sitting next to each other. Every one of them is in their own universe, on their own phone, and there is no real. And people are so lonely because of that. And if one looks at the news, if one is brave enough to look at the news, you can see there's so much conflict. There's so much conflict. And although it may be far away from us here, it is so dangerous because they have these weapons that can destroy the world, practically speaking. And they're threatening each other just like dogs. When you pass someone's fenced-in house and the dog's there, they just bark at you, and the people. Some people are barking at each other in that way, and if you come closer, we're going to bite you with this bomb. So it's a very difficult situation in the world. And really, people don't really have a feeling or a concept, an idea of what life's purpose is. Is there anything I'm supposed to actually achieve in life? Or is my success, what is success in life? So I become famous, I become wealthy, I have this, I have that, I have one house, two houses, five houses, 85 Rolls Royces. I mean, what is success in life? And then we die. And then people cry at our funeral. And then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 1 year later, 5 years later, how many people even know that we existed? And where have we gone? Where has that eternal soul gone? So living life with its having an actual purpose and knowing that purpose, that life does have a purpose, is so foreign to the people of this world nowadays. So Prabhupada continues. So Kripana, who is a Kripana and who is a Brahmana? Brahmana means he who knows that I am a spiritual identity. I am a person, an eternal person. All those who aren't people, raise your hands. Only one. But I think he didn't understand my question. All those who are not people. Because how would you know you're not a person unless you're a person to know that you're not a person? Obviously. So we're all people, individuals. Now, what is the purpose of our life? That knowledge that I am a soul, eternal soul, and I have a relationship with Krishna, that person is called a Brahmana. And Kripana means someone who has not used a human form of body to understand that he is a spiritual identity. He just simply thinks, I am this body. And because this body is born in a certain place, so I'm identified to that country or to that society or to that family. They are called Kripanas. A person who has not properly used his developed consciousness, that asset, he has not used it properly. Because human beings have such intelligence. And what do we do with that intelligence? Do we try to discern, to discover who I am? So those who don't use their intelligence to ask questions like that about the purpose of life, they are called misers. They have something, but they don't use it. Okay. Let's hear it directly from Prabhupada.
Now another thing. Take this, see the advantage of God consciousness. Now if you have got determination that I shall not take anything which is not offered to God. Because your life is meant for God's service. You earn for God, you cook for God, you eat for God. Therefore, the whole life is like that. Now, if you are cooking for God, if you are purchasing stores for God, then you have to know what sort of things can be offered to God. Because always remember that you are going to the store not for your own purpose. You'll find in later chapters that pachante te aghang papam. The idea is that anyone who is doing everything for the sake of the Lord, he is freed from the reaction. But anyone who is doing anything on his own account, he is being entangled in that action and reaction. So that is the technique of becoming jogastha, jogastha kuru karmani. And the next slok, in next slok, it is very clearly explained that durena jabaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau saranam anicca kripana phalahitavah. Kripana phalahitavah. Now, here is the word kripana is very significant. Kripana. There are two classes of men. The kripana means miser. Kripana. Miser. And that's the opposite word of kripana is brahmana. I have already explained to you sometimes that brahmana means who knows that I am not this body, I am spirit consciousness, one who knows perfectly well this understanding and the science also, that I am qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, Aham Brahmasmi. The Vedic mantra says, Aham Brahmasmi. That means I am Brahma. I am not this matter, I am Brahma. So one who knows this science, he is called Brahman. And that doesn't matter who is he and where he is born. That doesn't matter. Simply knowing this science. Now, the opposite word is kripana. Kripana means miser. Whom you call miser? The miser is a man who has got enough money but does not spend it. He is called miser. Miser means who has got enough assets but he does not spend. He simply sees his money and satisfied. He does not spend it, properly utilize it. That is, he is called kripana. Is it right, the miser explanation? No, the kripana. So kripana, who is kripana? And who is brahmana? Brahmana means who has known that I am spiritual identity. I am qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. I am the part and parcel of the Lord. This knowledge one has developed highly and perfectly, he is called brahmana. And kripana means who has not utilized this human form of body to understand that he is a spiritual identity, Brahma, but he simply knows that I am this body, and because this body is born in a certain place, so I am identified to that country or to that society or to that family. They are called kripana. Kripana means that he has not properly utilized the developed consciousness he has got in his asset.
In the next part of this talk that Prabhupada is giving in 1966, after having been speaking to Westerners in the United States, in New York specifically, just for 4 or 5 months. He's going to explain what, although he's mentioned it before, what is the alternative to being a miser? And that alternative is seva. Seva. Because, and even in the world today, amongst materialists, practically speaking, they talk about seva so frequently. Either giving, they could call it giving something back to the community, because just taking and taking and taking for me, that kind of selfishness, me, 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 it doesn't bring any satisfaction. No satisfaction. So one's working, working, and accumulating, accumulating, becoming more and more miserly and afraid. The more one has, who's going to take it? How am I going to? And this person is my editor, and so much anxiety. Because it's all selfish. And the soul is naturally wants to give ultimately to Krishna, and not only to Krishna, to everyone. It's service that brings happiness. It is seva that brings happiness. Seva doesn't mean work. It means an offering, a devotional offering. Please accept this. This is my service to you, my heartfelt service. It's my offering to you. So this seva is the alternative to miserliness that Srila Prabhupada is going to speak about in the next segment of this class. So Prabhupada says, and there's some radical things Prabhupada is going to say in this. A human being, he says, has developed consciousness more than a subhuman or the animal society. So he has to utilize that. It's like if you had 100 thousands of dollars, if you properly utilize it, can increase. It can be increased to millions of dollars by your intelligence if you utilize it. So he's saying that with the intelligence we have, with the consciousness we have, our abilities, our satisfaction, our true wealth, the jewels of life can be increased if we use that consciousness not in a miserly way, but in a generous, open way. In a brahminical way. So if you do not utilize it, if you keep it as it is, that's also very good. But sometimes we lost the whole thing. It means we've wasted our whole gift of human life. And those people are called kripana. That is foolishness. Foolishness. So we must utilize this human form of body properly to understand I am not this body. I am pure consciousness. And this pure consciousness, you have to practice it in such a way that in the next life I get my pure consciousness into a pure spiritual body. That means into my relationship with Krishna, the spiritual body. My relationship with Krishna. We want the soul, ourselves, to blossom into our relationship with Krishna. And again, the question is how to do that in this material world. And the answer Prabhupada is giving here is seva. We must understand always that this material body is a foreign thing. It's an encasement, a covering over who we really are. We have already explained to you that it's like a dress, a dress. Dress is a covering, a foreign thing to my body. Similarly, this gross and subtle body, the gross body of the material five elements and the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego, they are my foreign, they are coverings over me. And therefore we struggle with the body and the mind. We struggle with the body and the mind. We are not the body and the mind. We struggle with it. So I am now, Prabhupada explains, I am now engaged in foreign things. And my whole life's mission is to get out of these foreign things. I want to be situated. I don't like your ringtone, by the way. Put it on cow ringtone, that we wouldn't mind. I want to be situated in my real spiritual body. That's me. I want to develop that. That can be done if you practice. If you practice during this life, always to be yoga star, spiritually situated, then in your next life, after leaving behind this body, but even within this body, working from the spiritual platform, as Lord Krishna prescribes here, the yoga star, Kuru Karmani, be situated in yoga and act in your daily duties. It means you do live your life, but from the point of view, from the internal self-concept of I am Krishna's servant. Outback has come in back. Has come back in, yes? Yeah, you. You have another name other than Outback? What is it? Hemang. Beautiful name. Who gave you that name? Oh, how wonderful. Hemanga. You know what that means in English? The English translation of that? Yeah, his limbs, his angas, they're all golden and effulgent. What a wonderful name. Why did he give you that name? Why do you think he gave you that name? When you see him next time, why don't you ask him? Maybe, if you like. Maybe you'd be too shy, I don't know. So, spirit, next life, the spiritual body means a life of freedom. We do not know, we don't have a conception that in our spiritual body, how much we can be powerful. We do not know that. There's a calculation. The calculation that suppose God is 100%, 100% perfect. So when you get your spiritual body, you may not be as powerful as God, but almost near to God, you get 78% of the qualities, not quantitatively, but the qualities. You get 78%. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. That is the calculation by great sages. They have calculated that a living entity can attain to the perfection of 78%. Now, in our present material condition, we have no spiritual power at all. We are always encumbered and conditioned by material forces. Conditioned soul. What does it mean to be a conditioned soul? We use that term. It's actually a psychological term, conditioned. Does anyone care to say, what does it mean? What's your understanding of what it means to be a conditioned soul? Yes.
So there are different activities going on in this material world. So we have a conditioned
soul. What does it mean to be a conditioned soul? Having a body, yes. What does that term conditioned mean? Yeah, you're controlled at every moment. This planet goes over and it causes you anxiety. This gets eclipsed and boom, this happens. Your mind becomes like this. Someone says something to you that you don't like and you become angry. Controlled by all these things. We're programmed completely. And it's so frustrating because inside we know that we're good. There's something wonderful, but it doesn't so much manifest. But when someone is pure, unconditioned, acting on the, you could say he's running on solar energy, the energy of the soul, then, you like that one? Yeah, you can have it. It's energy efficient. It's green. So then he's so attractive because there's no envy in his heart. And he wants to do good for others. He wants to do good for everyone. So we are always encumbered and conditioned by material forces, you see. So therefore, one who does not use his body for perfection, for liberation, he is called Kripana. Kripana, a miser. He's not using the great wealth that he has. Then Kripana means a miserly person who does not use this human form of life for better profit. Then he wants that, oh, I have done so much. I must get the profit. I must get it. What profit you'll get? Just bodily enjoyment, the sense enjoyment. Now, what to do with the facilities that come to one? And Prabhupada says something radical. Sacrifice it. Sacrifice it. You know that there is a word, jagya, sacrifice. Sacrifice means, which is a common word, that you dedicate your life to the service of the Lord. You dedicate this life. You'll not be sufferer. What is there? What is the suffering? So this is the great fear that the conditioned soul has, that if I dedicate my life to Krishna and don't use my abilities for my own pleasures and my own enjoyment, then what will happen to me? I'll be left with nothing. But Prabhupada says, you won't be. What will be your suffering? I've given the prescription, the formula, before, that say you're in householder life. You're doing everything. You're earning money. You're getting from the store. You are cooking everything. Nothing is stopped. Simply change your mentality. Make that internal shift that I am Krishna's servant. And how can I please Krishna by my activities? Everything is being done for God. It is not at all difficult. You won't suffer. That's the promise. Simply, we have to adopt this. We have to adopt it. Otherwise, we are misers. We are not using the great gift of our human life. Now, if you think, why I'm earning for my palatable dishes, why shall I offer it to God? There are so many encumbrances, I'm not going to do it. But then you become a miser, a kripana. You don't use your human life to gain the most valuable thing. But if you're a brahmana, brahmana means udara, liberated, liberal, not liberated, liberal, Prabhupada says. The opposite word of kripana is liberal, giving, odarya, generous. And a generous-hearted person is the most respected person in the whole world. In this world of misers, one who is generous is most respected. So one who engages his body for sense enjoyment is called creeping a miser. And one who engages this body for the service of the Supreme Lord, he called a brahmana. So the Lord says, you don't be a kripana. don't be a miser. So seva means using what we have, who we are, for Krishna's pleasure. So how should we specifically act? And what is the fear that we have? Now, what are the fears that we have about giving ourselves to Krishna? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadamam Pritya Jamame Kam Sharanam Raja. But then he says, Aham Tom Sava Papabhyo Moksha Shami. Masu said, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. But we still fear and we hesitate and we worry as if we're going to be able to conserve and stay in this world forever and take everything with us that we're attached to in this world. As if, and as if shifting our consciousness to being a servant of Krishna and living our life in a practical way for Krishna's service, as if that's some loss. But we fear that. We fear that who will take care of me if I serve Krishna? And the answer is that Krishna will take care of you. And how much ability do we have to take care of ourselves ultimately? How much will... I've mentioned this many times, but it sticks in my mind that once I was many years ago, over 25 years ago or so, I had this motor scooter, and the purpose of this motor scooter was to ride from Vrindavan temple to Govardhan. And one day, but it was actually too heavy for me, and because I wasn't brought up using a motor scooter. Some of you are expert motor scooterists, having done it since you were kids, practically speaking, but it was too heavy for me. So I was coming back from Govardhan, and there was a fad in those days of making speed bumps everywhere. So I decided to be clever, and I went around the speed bump instead of going over it, because it bumps you and then you have to slow down so much, and it was too heavy. So I started going around it, the speed bump, and this part of the road going from Siradakund to Chatikara Road. On both sides, it's a bit elevated at this particular point, and on both sides are these bauble trees, these very sticker. How did those bauble trees get there? The British, yes, it's the British fault. They planted all the bauble trees. That's what everyone says. So I started going around it, and I felt myself, I was losing control. So I started using all the abilities that I had. I started trying to maneuver this way and that way. And still, it was starting to go out of control over the embankment. So suddenly, everything in my mind slowed down. And I started thinking, somehow or another, I started thinking philosophically that this is sort of like death. That when you're dying, you know, you get sick sometimes, and then you go to the doctor or use whatever medicines you know, and or some friends prescribe this for you or that, and you get better. There's going to come some time that there's no getting better. So in that way, I was using all the tricks that I knew to balance myself to keep from going over. But I was going over, and it was all like in slow motion. And I was thinking, this is like death. What do we use? We use the people we know, the influence we have, our strength, our knowledge, our abilities, our influence. But we're going to go over one day. So as it so happened, all in my mind in slow motion, I went over. And it was on an embankment, and I fell right in those sticker bushes. And the motor scooter was on top of me. Sorry, it has a happy ending, don't worry. And it was so unique that I couldn't move because two reasons. The scooter was on top of me and because all the stickers were there. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? But there I was in Vrindavan. And suddenly, what do they call them? Tuks. But a big one full of all these wild, enthusiastic, spontaneous Brisbati came up, and they stopped, and they pulled the scooter off of me, and I was like there for only about 1 minute, and they pulled it off of me, they got me up, and they got in the tuk-tuk, and they just drove away. And I thought, what just happened? So who is going to protect me? And that's sort of what it's like in Vrindavan. And that's what it's sort of like when you're in the mood. And my consciousness wasn't very great. It wasn't great at all. But when you have some kind of endeavor to serve Krishna, in your consciousness, this Krishna is there. And he's not our order supplier. He's not going to, I fall down, so there's, where are the Brijbasis? Come and protect me. It's not, and solve this problem and that problem, but the devotee places himself in the hands of Krishna. And he trusts Krishna, and that Krishna's dispensation, how Krishna deals with us, it's like, the kindest of mothers and fathers is going to deal with us in the way he wants to deal with us. And it's going to be merciful. I've seen this because living in Vrindavan, I've seen many devotees. They come to Vrindavan to leave this world. And those who can place themselves in Krishna's hands, I've seen, they have wonderful, amazing exits from this world, and we all have to exit one day. But they're in Krishna's hands, and sometimes I've wondered, and I know my time will come too, but I've wondered, how is Krishna going to deal with this person? And he's always dealt with them in a very special way. So, what is there to fear? Is it that Krishna is really not there? Or Krishna is not really going to take care of me because I haven't been a perfect devotee? Or I haven't done this or I haven't done that? No, Krishna is very kind, like a loving mother. Or a loving father. Very kind. Do you trust that? I mean, that's not the kind of question that I'm going to ask. Do you trust that? Raise your hand. No. It's not the kind of question that I'm going to ask because our life will test that. And life is meant to develop that kind of trust in Krishna. So we serve, and that's the glory of doing things like book distribution or doing any service day after day or regularly or thinking of oneself as a servant of Krishna. And I'm in this situation by Krishna's arrangement and I'm trying to serve Krishna. And what happens is we see Krishna's hand touches us. Yes. I'm here. Sometimes it's in a very gentle way, non-dramatic way, and sometimes it's in a dramatic way. But Krishna's relationship with us as individual souls is what life is meant to experience. And when you go out, for example, on book decision, how many of you have distributed books sometime or another? So that's how many of you do do any service in the temple day after day or regularly? And some days you don't feel like it. Or how many of you for the just in your cooking for your family, deity or whatever? Some days you don't feel like doing it, and some days you feel like doing it, but you do it anyway because this is your seva, this is your service. And some days when you're distributing books, which is a very favorite example of mine, some days everyone takes a book and you feel, I'm such a great book distributor, and then boom, no one will take a book. And then you realize it was Krishna all along who was giving you the ability. Because if Krishna wants to take away your ability, you can't even breathe, what to speak of do seva. You can't even move your hand. There's Krishna's gifts in life. And when we take those gifts, and Prabhupada will talk about it soon in such a sweet way, he talks about it as that Krishna, if he told the story, I won't say what he will say at the end, but Prabhupada told the story of one father who was very generous to his children. So every Sunday he would give each of his children some money and said, you go and buy something and enjoy. So most of the children, what do? They buy some candy or some this or that, and they sit there and eat it. But one of the children, he bought something for the father with the money that the father had given him. And he says, my father, this is for you. You please take it. So how does the father react to such a child? Does he think, you're so silly, this money came from me and it's just a little bit and I have this much? And does he think like that? Why are you giving it? I gave it. No. This child is very special. He's taking what I have given him, and he's offering something back to me with that very same thing. Someone who can be like that is unencumbered, because Krishna removes the encumbrance. And he's done it. Why has that child done that? Because of his gratitude, because of his affection, because his appreciation, because of his love. Now, in the next section, okay, let's just play that one when Prabhupada speaks in that one.
A human being has got the developed consciousness than others, other as subhuman or the animal society. So he has to utilize. Just like you have got 100,000 of dollars. Now if you properly utilize, it can be increased. It can be increased to millions of dollars by your intelligence if you utilize. And if you do not utilize it, if you keep it as it is, that is also very good, but sometimes we lost the whole thing. They are called kripana, foolishness. So we must utilize this human form of body properly to understand that I am not this body. I am pure consciousness. And this pure consciousness I have to practice in such a way that in next life I get my pure conscious into pure spiritual body, not again this material body. This material body, we must always know, this is a foreign thing. We have already explained to you that this is just like dress. Dress is a a foreign thing to my body. Similarly, this gross and subtle body, gross body of these material five elements, and the subtle body of mind, ego, and intelligence, they are my foreign things. So, I am now encased in foreign things. My whole life mission is to get out of these foreign things. I want to be situated in my real spiritual body. That can be done if you practice. If you practice during this life to always to be spiritually situated, then your next life, after living even within this body, when you get clear conception that I am not this body, and you are clearly working on from the spiritual platform, as Lord Krishna prescribes here, the yogastha kuru karmani, be situated in yoga and act in your daily duties. Then, similarly, if we practice this to work in such a way that we have to work from the spiritual platform, then in your next life will be free from this material bondage and you get your freedom life. Spiritual body means your freedom life. We do not know, we have no conception that in our spiritual body how much we can be powerful. We do not know that. There is calculation. There is calculation that suppose God is 100% perfect. So when you get your spiritual body, you may not be as powerful as God, but almost near to God. You get 78%. You get 78% of the whole power. That is a calculation by the great sages. They have calculated that a living entity can attain to the perfection of 78%. Now, in our present material condition, we have no spiritual power at all. We are always encumbered and conditioned by material forces. You see? So, therefore, one who does not utilize this body for perfection, for liberation, he is called Kripana. Kripana, this is stated here. Kripana phalahe tava. Kripana phalahe tava. That Kripana, that means miserly person who does not utilize this human form of life for better profit, then he wants that, oh, I have done so much, I must get the profit. I must get the what profit you have to get? For the bodily enjoyment, for sense enjoyment, oh, sacrifice it. Sacrifice it. You know that there is a word in yajna, sacrifice. And sacrifice means, it is a common word, that you dedicate your life for the service of the Lord. This life. You will not be sufferer. You will not say, what is their suffering? Now, just the prescription or the formula I just cited before you. Your householder life. Now, you are doing everything. You are earning money. You are getting from the store. You are cooking. Everything, nothing is stopped. Simply change your mentality. That everything is being done for. It's not at all difficult. Simply, we have to adopt it. We have to adopt it. So kripana phalahitam. Now, if you think that, oh, why I am earning for my palatable dishes, why shall I offer it to God? This is, there are so many, encumbrances. I'm not going to be. Then you become kripana, miser. But if you be a Brahman, Brahman means udara, liberal. The opposite word of kripana is liberal. I offer this body for the service of the Supreme. I become so liberal. Not for my sense enjoyment. The one who engages this body for sense enjoyment, he is called Kripana Miser. And one who engages this body for the service of the Lord, he is called Brahmana. Lord says that you don't be Kripana, you don't be miser.
Spend it for sense gratification. How to spend it for sense gratification? There is no other program. You see everywhere. But here, the formula is that nothing for your sense gratification. Isn't that radical? Nothing for your sense gratification. And here is a point of fear that comes to every conditioned soul. You mean I can't enjoy anything? Everything for Krishna? Nothing for me? How am I going ever to survive being a servant of Krishna? What to speak of my poor children who were growing up, I'm training them to be devotees. How are we all going to survive such an austere thing? Austere philosophy. Now, this world, based on the principle of enjoyment, and therefore there's so many shops. You go to airports nowadays, and it's sort of a mall with an airport attached to it. It's all just, you can buy this, you can enjoy that, you can enjoy that. And there's 15 different high profile companies with different brands of clothes, coverings. And how much pleasure is really available in that? But still, people don't know what to do with their wealth, with their time. But yet, even for a devotee, we fear this. We don't want to be like that, perhaps. But we fear, how about me? Am I going to be able to live to this kind of standard? No sense gratification? Everything for God? Now, while thinking about this, very question this morning. As is my habit, I turned on Prabhupada's words. And it was a morning walk. And I don't know if you've listened to Prabhupada on morning walk. Something is very cutting sometimes. But I want to, could you, now we don't have it exactly in a one of these slideshows like that, but we'll have the transcription very short of what he said, which really made it easier for me to deal with my own mind in these questions and also to make this presentation. So make it bigger still. And you'll have to move it down, up and down, even bigger, so it's easy to read, please. Yeah, just zoom it still. Okay. Is it big enough so it can be there? Can you? Okay. There must be Krishna consciousness. Now play the recording. This is Prabhupada, Los Angeles, 1973. What are you thinking?
The boss is great. I'm going to write reverse their play. very comforting place. Gentle man, little. So never say that you need like Rachel, the chins. So never say that. Be part of your heart. You go over the city. And this was practically introduced by my Guru Maharaj. That living in palatial building and riding on first class cars, one can become the best devotee. Not that one has to live running the tree, imitating Rupa Goswami. That is not possible in this way. That is the contribution of my Guru Maharaj. If one is sincere, he can remain a first-class devotee even in this material opulence. And if you would not have introduced, then it was not possible. So, come here and please this gospel. Because the principle was to leave underneath the tree, go to Vrindavan, and have lion claws, just as the Babaji's are imitating. Even in full material bullets, I will get this out by perfect devotee.
People have gone so much ahead in material and material civilization means only sense gratification, that's all. It has nothing more than this. And actually we are seeing that as much as we are making economic progress, as much money we are getting, the next program is how to spend it for sense gratification. How to spend it for sense gratification. They have no other program. No other program. You see, everywhere. But here, the formula is that nothing for your sense gratification. Everything for God. The work is not condemned. Work you can do. Whatever in situation, position you are, by God's will you are put it. That doesn't matter. Your work is not bad, provided you work for the Supreme Lord. That's all. That is the technique. Durena jabaram karma. Yeah, it is emphatically emphasized that durena jabaram karma buddhi yogat dhananjaya. By application of this God consciousness, you throw away all other work. Any work which you cannot do with God consciousness, don't do it. Now here is the injunction, Bhagavad Gita. Anything which you cannot do with God consciousness, stop doing. But the whole world is engaged doing things in which there is no God consciousness. There is no God consciousness. But here it is enjoined. That buddhau saranam mannicca kripana phalahitava. Only those who are kripana, those who are not self-realized, they are hankering after sense gratification. They want to enjoy the fruits of their labor. But you don't be, Arjuna, you don't be. If you want to be spiritually situated, if you want to work from the spiritual platform, then you don't do it. You work on the spiritual platform and don't do anything which you cannot do in God consciousness. This is clearly stated here. Now, it is of course, it depends on us whether to accept it or not accept it, because God has given us independence. You will find also in the Bhagavad Gita at the end that after the instruction is given, the Lord inquires from Arjuna that I have given you all instruction necessary. Now, whatever you like, you do. So this is the position. Hey, the Lord never interferes with the little independence that has been offered to us. We have got little independence because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Law. So under certain percentage, we have got independence, not full independence, but under certain percentage we have got independence. And that independence we can use properly or misuse it also. When we misuse, then we become Kripana, the miser. And when we use it properly, then we become Brahmana.
Okay, perhaps. I think Anirudha Prabhu, not I think, Anirudha Prabhu got the exact meaning that what's appropriate, what's healthy, what's food, what's nourishing for one person, for another person, if he imitates that very thing, maybe act like poison for him. On one hand, nourishment, the other hand, poison. What's good for one isn't not necessarily good for another. So what Prabhupada is saying is that we should take a position that's suitable for our advancement. And that position, whether it's full of opulence, whether it's becoming the prime minister of India or Australia or the president of the United States or the best cricket player or the most famous doctor in the world or living in opulence or complete renunciant who's just chanting all day long or preaching. What's good for one person's spiritual development may not be the best for another's. And we should find the position for ourselves that's comfortable, comfortable in the sense that is nourishing for our spiritual advancement, because the most important thing is the spiritual advancement and an increasing desire to serve and to chant Krishna's name in an increasing satisfaction in Krishna consciousness and an increasing relationship with Krishna, so that we know that we're making advancement, that no one has to tell us. So we need to find the appropriate situation for ourselves. Is that clear? And are you not allowed to answer, perhaps? Is that clear? Raise, no. If that's sort of clear to you, raise your hand. Okay, that seems to be everyone. And it's in Srila Prabhupada saying, my Guru Maharaj introduced this previous to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The sadhus following Mahaprabhu were very completely austere, but he saw that it wasn't working for them to do nirjan, lonely bhajan, and that's what it meant to be a sadhu, to just sit alone in the forest in a completely austere situation, and it wasn't even working for them in his time. He saw this. And he saw that rather than giving up matter in the sense of, for the purpose of not being overly involved in sense enjoyment, which all devotees, not living extravagantly, as Prabhupada said, but artificial austerity wasn't working in this age. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so radical that he rode into Radhakunda, you know, in a fancy car. And the Babajis couldn't accept that. This isn't what devotional service is. But Nibbanda Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. That everything should be used in Krishna's service, to use our situation, whatever it is, to please Krishna, was the message that Prabhupada was giving in this entire lecture. Whatever your situation is, use it. Use it. Somehow use it for Krishna's pleasure. Oh, I think she wants a mama. Yes, she's there, don't worry. Once when Krishna was sleeping, he also woke up and he started crying for his mother. And when the baby cries for mother, whether there's a class going on at night or not, the mother hears that cry and comes running to the child out of love. So mother sort of picked Krishna up. And she had been churning butter for Krishna. And while she was churning, she's just churning for Krishna. She takes the best cows, Padmaganda cows, feed them the best grass so they would give the best milk, and then she would turn that milk into butter, to yogurt and butter. And she was singing about Krishna because her thoughts were always involved in Krishna. And she began to feed him. She stopped the churning and began to feed him, because the child would just wake up. Especially they want their mothers and they don't feel secure unless their mother is there. So Krishna, in this mood, was enhancing the loving mood of Mother Yashoda. And he was missing her. His consciousness, of course, is not possible for us to understand, but he's completely captivated by the love of the Vrijvasis, whatever mood they have. And he's thinking of himself in reciprocation to their mood, even though he's savagya, he's also moved. So then, what happened next? Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna, and he's satisfied. And then the milk pot begins to boil over. This milk is meant for Krishna. So Mother Yashoda takes her darling Krishna and puts him down, just to walk over to there to set the milk pot right. And Krishna becomes angry. Something is more important than me. And he begins to cry. Mother Yashoda's only going to be a few minutes away before she comes back and picks up her lala again. Jesus. Because every child wants to think oneself is the center of one's mother's love. So Krishna became angry, and he broke the milk pot, the yogurt pot, and broke it more, and then fed the yogurt to the mouth of her. You're on Krishna's side, aren't you? Yeah, one could tell. It's fully justified. And that's just what Krishna was thinking. And then Mother Yashoda came. This is the work. And she became very upset with Krishna. And Krishna was feeling completely justified after what she's done to me. She put me down when I was hungry. She wasn't immediately there. So he's doing all kinds of naughty things, and Mother Yashoda comes, Yashoda Bhans comes, and with her stick. He's so naughty. I don't know what's going to happen to this boy. He's so naughty. He's stealing butter now. When he grows up, who knows what he'll steal? Maybe the wives of others. Who knows what he'll do? So she snickered. Well, you all know the story. This is the whole story of Damodar Leela. And it's all such a loving exchange. And Mother Yashoda, with her complete love for Krishna, she binds Krishna with a rope around his udara, Damodara. So amazing. This is the spiritual world. It's based on love for Krishna. So, Prabhupada is saying in that morning walk, take the situation that's natural for you. But do it and act in that situation, which is nourishing for you in service to Krishna, and how to use this situation to please Krishna. But there was one other point in addition to this, that there's one verse that Srila Rupa Goswami puts in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it's an interesting translation. Could you put that other verse on? Iha yasya hare dasye. And we'll read Srila Jiva Goswami's comment on this verse. Who can read this? Govinda Hari.
Translation. The second type of dasya is illustrated in the Naradiya Purana. He who has the desire to serve the Lord with actions, mind, and words in this world is called a liberated jiva in all circumstances. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The author indicates his own opinion without a glorification of this type of dasya. Iha dasya here means having the desire for servitude. Once you have the desire, I am your servant.
All it takes is a desire. I am yours. Tavasmi chayachate. Sakudeva vipanastam. If one desires this, even though one may fall short, that falling short doesn't make any difference, practically speaking, if one sincerely desires and follows as best as one is able. This is a little bit of an expansion. These two points are a little bit of an expansion of what Prabhupada was speaking about in 1966. But that desire to serve Krishna, that spark, is our greatest wealth. We should take that spark and fan it as best we can. This is our wealth. What do you think about that, Mr. Outback? Hey, yeah? What do your friends call you? Mostly. Hey, what do you think about that? To have the desire to serve Krishna is so wonderful. Because if you have it, even if you... Yeah, it helps you in all circumstances. And look what Prabhupada's desire was. How big it was. He once told Jagatini Mataji and myself, it is my desire that everyone in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. What a desire for service. And he said, you please help me with that. And here he said, I want to create a revolution in the world against this against this atheistic consciousness, which is really causing havoc in the world. It's causing havoc in the world because there's no standard of what's good or bad. So Prabhupada had ambition. So it's wonderful to have ambition. And Prabhupada dealt with ambitious people by encouraging them. He didn't say, go live under a tree in a loincloth. No, do something wonderful for Krishna. So I wanted to insert this point. Now, let's just go to the final section here, the fourth section, because I read the third one. This is all we can do, in a sense. Our freedom, the process of offering the Supreme that which is already His. Yeah, just play it.
Durena jabaram karma, buddhi yoga dhananjaya, buddhau saranam anicca, saranam anicca kripanapala, buddhi, by intelligence, you take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Don't be miser and be hankering after the result of your war and enjoy for yourself. Sacrifice means you sacrifice your energy. God is not hankering after your money or whatever you have got. He is full in Himself. He doesn't require. Now, in India there is a system of worshipping the Ganges water. There are five sacred rivers which the Hindus they worship. They are Ganga, Jamuna, Kaveri, Godavari, Narmada. Just like you have got your Hudson River here, similarly there are many rivers, and one of them, these five rivers, they are accepted as the sacred river, and people take their bath and offer their respect. Now, what is the process of respect? The process of respect is just like worshipping the Ganges water. Now, after taking your bath, you stand on the water and take little water from the river, just like this. The river is flowing, you take little water like this and chant your mantra and offer it. Now, this offering of water, where from the water is come? Oh, you have taken the water from the Ganges. You have not brought even the water from your house. You are taking the water from the Ganges and you are again and offering the same to the Ganges with some mantra. Similarly, the Ganges has got immense water. If you take 1 palmful of water out of it, if the Ganges is not in loss, and again if you offer 1 palmful of water on the Ganges does not gain anything. But utilizing the Ganges water and offering to the Ganges, you become a devotee of Ganges. Similarly, the offering to Lord, what you have got, your body, it is also given by God, your intelligence, it is given by God. The facility of work, it is given by God. Everything is given by God. Now what do we work? Now suppose I am writing books. All right. In which you are writing? On paper. All right. Who has given you paper? Now you make philosophical study. Well, paper I purchased from the market. Market, how does it supply paper? Now it is manufacturing mills. Oh, it is manufacturing mills. Where they get the raw materials? Oh, from the wood. How the wood is produced? Oh, then you come to the God. You cannot produce the wood. You simply bring wood from the forest and get it to chemically purified and make a plaster and the paper is made. So no raw material you can manufacture. Raw material has to be taken from God's stock. Now, if the raw material is taken from God's stock, then how the paper becomes yours? Oh, this is God consciousness. This is everything we'll find. That nothing is ours. We simply, the economists also say, that we cannot manufacture anything. We can simply transform from one form to another. That's all. We can give our labor only. And that labor also, giving the strength. Now suppose I work with my hand. Now, I am claiming this is my hand. But if God withdraws the power of your hand, paralyzed, oh, your pride is at one side, not your hand. You see? See, everything. Nothing is yours. I am also a spirit soul. I am also part and parcel of God. And we are thinking independently that I have no connection with God. This is a very horrible condition. The whole world is suffering because this misconception of life. Misconception of life, that he has forgotten his eternal relationship with God. So, we have to revive it. We have to revive this process, the Bhagavad Gita has prescribed. Dūrena chavarankanna buddhi yogādhananyara buddhau saranam mannicca kripana palahetava. Kripana means those who are anxious for enjoying sense gratification by the fruits of their labor, they are called kripana. And those who have sacrificed the whole body, whole intelligence, sacrifice, you always remember, what we can sacrifice. Just like we take Ganges water from Ganges and offering it. So everything is obtained from God. And now if we offer the same thing to God, then we become liberated. Actually, I am not proprietor in anything. Myself is also not. I am also the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. These are the conceptions. Without this conception, without this God conception, there is no spiritual realization and there is no happiness either personally or impersonally, or socially, economically, or politically, there cannot be.